It's Here and Now, and I'm broadcasting from Houston this week, a city that is home to the largest church in America, Lakewood Church. Close to 50,000 people worship there each week. For those who can't be in the church, which used to be a sports arena, there are TV broadcasts, internet streams, Facebook pages, and Twitter accounts, and many books. In fact, the church says its message reaches tens of millions of people in 100 countries. I sat down with Senior Pastor Joel Osteen. We spoke before the shootings at the church in South Carolina. I started our conversation by asking Osteen whether it's a benefit to have such a big church.
You know, it's interesting, Jeremy. We never started out that way. My dad started the church in 1959 with 90 people, and I grew up all my young years with 200 people or less in the church. And so, you know, never really planned on having a big church. But around 1970, 72, something like that, the church really started growing. And then, you know, fast forward, when I took over in 1999, it grew from 6,000 to many thousand. And I always tell people there are pros and cons for a big church. The cons are, I don't know everybody like I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to go to all the ball games and things like that. The pros are, there's something about when 10,000 people get together in a service, and also I think the programs we have to offer people, you know, there's just like a bigger, you know, company, you have more to offer. So, it goes both ways. But the flip side is we didn't want to turn people away. People kept coming. We thought, okay, let's just build a bigger place.
Well, and how have you had that success? Well, a lot of religion in this country and in Western Europe and other places in the world has been losing members. Why is it that people are drawn to what you're doing?
You know, I think part of it is the message, our message, not just ours, but ours is positive, it's hopeful, it's practical, it's relevant. I think sometimes, you know, if you don't change with the times, and it doesn't mean the message changes, but, you know, maybe how it's delivered or how it's told. You know, nowadays there's a lot of competition. There's 500 channels on TV. I mean, you know, with the radio now, all the people's attention spans are shorter. If people don't get something out of it, I'm not sure they're going to continue to come with all the different things there are to offer to get involved in.
Well, and a lot of people that watch what you do say one of the things that you do that's different from other pastors perhaps is you steer clear of a lot of controversial issues out there, that you're focusing on a more of a positive message. And there are some things in the church that some agree with and some don't.
I think you're exactly right. And my father did that way back from the beginning, because there are those hot button issues. And, you know, especially when you get into political type issues, I mean, half the country is Democrat and Republican, basically. And, you know, our church is very diverse as well. And so I try to stay on the my goal is to throw a wide net of hope to let people know that God is for them. He's got a purpose for their life. And about half the people that watch and listen to us, They don't consider themselves necessarily a religious people. They didn't grow up in church like me. And that's always been my goal, is how do we get outside the church walls? Because that's easy to keep talking to the same people. But, you know, I like to, you know, make God relevant in people's lives that maybe weren't raised like me. And so that's a big goal of ours.
But do you think that those hot button political issues just aren't important, or are they not important to you? Or do you think that it's just not a good idea to bring them up all the time? Or what are your views?
Well, I think they're important, but I think everybody has their own calling. And, you know, I have friends that are very political, they're pastors, and that's what their thing is. So I don't think that, I think there are, but I think sometimes, and again, this is just my opinion, that sometimes the church world, we can take one issue and make it really, really, really big, and it can turn people off, where there are many bigger issues. And that's why I don't like to be defined by one thing. I mean, our message is about lifting people up. It's about helping them fulfill their destiny, helping them how to forgive in a tough time, how to make it through this life when life tries to push you down. So I think it's the answer is, maybe I'm not answering it correctly, but they are important issues, but for my calling, it's not what I feel called to do.
What would you say is the main issue that your members, when they want to come talk to you face to face, that is the thing that's troubling them?
You know, it's really, I don't know if I can say one, but it's usually three areas almost wherever I go. People are having marital or relationship issues, it's financial issues, and it's health issues. I mean, that's the main things. It's really not those hot button issues most of the time. I mean, very, very rarely. But you know what? We have a big medical center here in town. So every week there are people here that are facing life-threatening illnesses. And, you know, people, whether you're white, black, rich, or poor, going through a divorce. I mean, people are hurting. People want to know, you know, how do I keep a good attitude when I lost a loved one? So it's really those, And really, I think that's how the ministry has grown, because we talk about everyday life. And that's not just whether you're a religious person or whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or no denomination. These are just the issues of life.
What do you think about people who have decided to turn away from religion? And we know now, looking at the numbers, that there are more Americans, 23% now not affiliated with any religion. What do you think about atheists, for example?
Well, you know what, Jeremy, I like everybody. I have atheists write me all the time, tell me that they listen. I see some of those studies too. I think what it is, and this again, just my opinion, it's not scientific, but I think sometimes the way the studies are asked, people don't like necessarily being associated with religion, with that connotation. Sometimes that means, you know, a certain thing politically, and that's turned people off. And again, I think that's why we stay away from it. I think that's why churches like ours are continuing to grow. I mean, I never dreamed growing up in a church of 200. One day I'd be in the basketball arena where the Rockets play basketball. I mean, I never dreamed I'd be doing this. And every Sunday when I get up there to minister, I think, how in the world did this all happen? But I'm probably a little biased, but I see churches like ours that, not just ours, but there is I believe faith in America is at an all-time high in one sense, even though some of those studies may show it differently. I think that's people being turned off by religion.
Well, when you talk about a basketball arena, do you feel like a celebrity?
No, I never feel like that at all. I mean, 16 years ago, I was running the camera, working behind the scenes, and I don't feel any different than I did back then. I just, I'm a real... I feel like I'm pretty grounded. No, I feel blessed to be doing what I'm doing. I every time I go to these arenas and the church and different things that we do, I think, man, what are these people coming out for? I mean, of all people, for me. But you know what? It's just, some of it is just the sovereignty of God. It's just, it's just meant to be.
Well, and I know that you have a huge following now in Latin America. And I wonder then, as a result of that, whether you have any thoughts on immigration reform.
You know, I don't know that I understand it all, or I don't know that I'm up to speed on it all. I'm on the side of mercy, probably more on the side of some of the stricter things. But I don't know what the answer is, Jeremy. I do think that something needs to be done, and I think like most Americans, we got to figure out with all the people in the country. I don't know that you can just kick them out like people say, but. I don't know, but I would come down on the side of mercy. Now, I don't know what that means. I'd have to let people that, that study it more figure that out.
I took a class years ago with Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor, who was talking about how he thought that the two main faiths in this country, Christianity and Judaism, had not done a good enough job keeping an open conversation with Muslims in this country, and that was one of the problems. People were talking past each other, and that's led to some of the issues that we've had. I just wondered your thoughts on that. Do you have conversations with Muslims ever?
Certainly I do. I have Muslims that attend our church, and my books sell a lot in Muslim countries as well. And I don't know. I haven't. I don't get real deep into that kind of. Those kinds of things, but our ministry is about reaching out to everybody, and so, I do have those conversations. I had a whole group of probably 50 Muslims here at the service about 2 weeks ago, sitting right on the front row. They came. We have good relationships, and I think it's again part of our ministry is, our main theme is Jesus said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself, and. I don't try to put people in a box of, okay, they're Jewish or they're Catholic or they're this or they're that. And I just say, there's somebody that God's put in our path to love. And so, that's our philosophy.
Pastor Osteen, I want to ask you about something else that a lot of religious leaders sort of tiptoe around and they never quite come out and talk about. But I do want to ask your thoughts on it, which is whether we're close to the end times in your view. Do you think that we are?
Jeremy, I don't know. I'm not real up to speed on all that. I think in general, the scripture talks about when there's earthquakes and famines and wars and, then you're close to the end times. Well, we see a lot of that happening today. I don't know. Does that mean 100 years, 1,000 years, or 10,000 years? I don't know. My thing is, let's make the most of this day. If God's given us this day, it's a gift. And we may not have tomorrow, but let's be our best today and be a blessing to somebody else and live it in faith.
See, I said you didn't want to talk about controversial issues, and then there I was asking you all about these controversial
okay.
topics.
No, you're good.
Finally, Pastor Osteen, you're here in Houston. You've been here in Houston for your career. What is it about this city that you love so much or that you've decided to stay here and have your church here as opposed to maybe moving it somewhere else?
It's the people. They're great people here in Houston. I mean, I just couldn't find more, you know, loving, caring, faith-filled people. And, you know, it's a great city. There's opportunity here. It's just it's a great place. It's a great place to live.
And do you have a rivalry with Dallas? Because I know that the Houstonians and the Dallas people aren't huge fans of each other.
We never think of it that much because we know we're so much better than Dallas, so we don't really have to think about that. No, we don't. We just, there are friends up there too, but we just, you know, life's good here in Texas.
That's Joel Osteen, senior pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, the largest church in the U.S. Joel Osteen, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeremy. It's great to be with you and all your listeners.
The latest in our View from the Top series of conversations with leaders. And Robin, I was speaking with a longtime Houstonian last night who said he loves Joel Osteen, but he's mad at him for taking over the best hockey arena in the country.
I think Joel Osteen could live with that.
You're listening to Here and Now.